This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Globalism subverts justice. Today we're going to look behind the verdict. And I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. There are so many things that have been said concerning this verdict that has come down from New York. And we're going to try to avoid using labels like Republican or Democrat and things like that. Yes, those are real designations, but they're not totally accurate designations. The reason they're not totally accurate designations is because they don't go to the root of the problem. They don't go to the real motivations behind what happened there in New York, what's been happening in Atlanta, what's been happening in Florida, what's been happening all over the country. There is something much bigger at stake. And if we do not understand that, we're going to be just floundering around, wondering what the world's going on, wringing our hands. We're not going to have an accurate understanding of what is really happening and why. It's not just something that is happening. It's why it's happening. That's what we need to look at here today on Viewpoint. Now, this may seem like a strange thing to introduce today in the context of what we're going to be talking about, but really they're connected. The Christian Post brought this headline: nearly 40% of Christians prefer not to tell people about their faith. 40%. Now that's in the UK. Why would that be? See, it's not that 40% of Christians prefer not to tell people about the faith. It's why don't they do that? You see, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God is not just interested in what happens. He's interested in why it happens. That goes to the heart of the matter, because the heart of the matter is always the heart. And the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So why is it that 40% of Christians prefer not to tell people about their faith? Because they're afraid. They're afraid. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of rejection. They're afraid of mockery. They're afraid of persecution. They're afraid of having their jobs attacked. They're afraid of legal responses to everything that they say or do. They're afraid of being shut down. They're afraid of their life being canceled. They're afraid of their families being attacked. They're afraid, 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 afraid. And that's exactly, my friends, what this lawfare is all about. It's designed to make people afraid. But why? Why is it designed to make people afraid? If you can take down a president, why can't you take down just about anybody? Especially when you have to conjure up imitation law in order to try desperately to bring about a conviction and even a case in the beginning. You can see why people would be desperately afraid. And the more that people can be intimidated and afraid, the less they'll be able and willing to speak. And the less they're willing to speak and stand up, the more they're going to be intimidated and become pawns of something else that they don't understand. What is it that people don't understand? What is it that people are becoming pawns of that they do not realize? It's not just become a pawn of the Democratic Party, a pawn of Republican Party, or a pawn of liberals, or a pawn of conservatives, and so on. It's much, much bigger than that, my friends. It's becoming a pawn or a subject, bringing you into subjection, bringing all peoples in under subjection to a new world government. in order for that to happen, particularly in the United States of America and in Israel, the people must be brought under subjection. How do you do that? You create fear. You create anxiety. You create pressure. And you increase the pressure. And you make it so that the people have no more trust in their systems or even in God himself. And so they abandon hope. And then they're willing to cast all of their care, not upon God, because that trust has been destroyed, but upon a new global order that promises them everything they could ever hope for. As Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum said, you'll own nothing and be happy about it. What has to happen for that to take place? Fear has to become normative. Intimidation of that which we have heretofore thought was normative, our trust in systems, our trust in our education system, our trust in the law, our trust in medicine, our trust in the government, our trust in all these things has to be destroyed, has to be brought to an end, because that is what unifies the people. The unity in America and Israel must be destroyed according to the globalist mindset. Because those are the two countries standing as bastions of not democracy, bastions of truth, the final preservation or reservation of truth, biblical truth in the world. As weak as it may seem, as far gone as it may seem in Israel or America, these countries are still, as Abraham Lincoln said, the last great hope of earth, or the last best hope of earth. Patriotism has to be destroyed. Trust in your family has to be destroyed. Trust in the normative aspects of life, liberty, happiness, justice, mercy, truth have to be destroyed. And that's what's happening. This is just one major engine, shall we speak, to say, bringing this apart, about. The public trust in the legal system has been betrayed. Lawlessness has been carried out in high drama under color of law. Lawlessness under color of law. Justice has been corrupted. Juries have become the political tools of the apparatus of globalism. There's no place for truth. It's the political subversion of the law. Globalism subverts justice. And so we're looking behind the verdict here today on Viewpoint. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Looking behind the verdict. So glad that you've joined us here today on Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk that Transforms, and I trust that today is no exception. You see, if all we do is keep looking at things the way we always look at them, if we do not try to see things from God's perspective, from the biblical perspective, then we are in quasi-blindness at best. We have a veil over our eyes and cannot see or think straight. We're struggling between a normative rational mind and a reprobate mind. And the more we struggle and are assaulted by the reprobate mind, the more the rational mind conforms to the reprobate mind. And that's the danger that we're in America today. You see, when humans forsake the fear of the Lord, God's ways of government, and covenantal oversight and revelation, they're no longer available. So man, therefore, has to devise his own ways, seeking to create a utopian world order, promising peace on earth, inevitably through a counterfeit prince of peace. In other words, a surrogate Christ, a replacement. And isn't it interesting? Rome declared the government of the world to be upon its shoulders, even as the King of Kings, Jesus Christ himself, was sent by God to reintroduce God's governance in the world. As Isaiah the prophet said, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, not Rome, and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it, with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore." Now here's the point, friends. If you think that you at this juncture can restore justice in this country without the fear of the Lord, you're living in a fool's paradise. Ain't going to happen. Because the fear of the Lord is at the very foundation of the justice system in America. Without that, you have nothing to hold people accountable. And that's the reason why, historically, in this country, we have had the oath, both the oath of office and the oath of witnesses before the court. Do you now promise, or we'll just use the word promise. Do you now promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God? Why the term "so help me God"? Because that is what brought the fear of the Lord into the courts. It was that and that alone that gave the American justice system its dependability and its trustworthiness. Then some of the courts in some of the states, particularly blue states, began to change that. They began to say, "Do you solemnly swear before this court that you shall tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" They left out "so help me God." You see, they took away the very test of truth, the very test that the person would have to be accountable before an eternal judge. When you remove that accountability, you have removed justice. At least American-style justice, which heretofore has been the standard of justice in our world. When that is removed, everything else is up for grabs. So why is that being removed? You notice the question always comes back to why. It's not that it's being removed. That's information. It's why it's being removed. That's what leads to transformation. If we don't get to the why questions, looking behind the verdict, in many respects, it's just an idle chatter. We need to find out, really seriously pursue what is behind the verdict. Is it behind the verdict because 85% of the jury and the jury pool in New York voted Democrat and voted against Donald Trump? Well, that's a fact. That is a fact behind the verdict. But in and of itself, it's not determinative. Because you see, you could possibly be a Democrat and still operate under the fear of the Lord. Theoretically, you could. But under circumstances as we see them today, when Mr. Manchin, the senator there in West Virginia, decided to leave the Democrat Party that he's been in for all his life, Joe Manchin, today it was announced he's leaving the Democrat Party. Why? He's leaving it because it no longer is a party of truth. It no longer is a party that can be depended upon in the United States of America to support the very foundations of truth and justice under God. It's not under God anymore. And so there is a sense, whether Joe Manchin realizes it or not, there is a sense in which the reality is the fruit of godlessness and the lack of the fear of the Lord is producing the injustice under color of law. Because then law becomes a weapon. Law is no longer designed to produce and carry on a society of truth, but rather a society driven by political power. That's where we are. But why is that? What is behind all of that? Why is the justice being corrupted? Why is the public trust being destroyed? Why is lawlessness being used as a tool under color of law, a pretense of the law? What is it going to accomplish? What is the real agenda? What is the purpose? The purpose is to subvert our trust in the legal system and therefore in our country, calling the people then to be willing to receive and cry out for an alternative. So behind it all is globalism, the pursuit of a new world order, a new world government, is being used to subvert every aspect of American life. Everything that was understood as the foundation, for instance, righteousness alone exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, says the scripture. Globalism says no. It's not about righteousness. It's about power. It's about offering the people something under a single control called a new world government that inevitably will be reposed into 10 leaders who will then delegate their responsibility to one who seems to them to incarnate the ultimate benefits that can be used to bring about and choreograph the entire world into this global government, and that individual is known as a counterfeit Christ or the Antichrist. That's where it's heading. That's what this is all really about. If you do not understand that and you cannot receive that, you are going to flounder. You're going to think that somehow political power alone is going to save us. It is not. Even, for instance, if Donald Trump were to somehow rise above all of this and be brought into office for 4 years, it's still going to go back because the goal has already been set. God has already declared what is going to happen in his word. It's hard for us to get our minds and hearts around this, friends, because somehow we think, well, that's not optimist. That's not optimistic. It isn't. I thought the return of Jesus Christ to rule the world in righteousness was the blessed hope of the church. Doesn't appear that way anymore. And that's why professing Christians in this generation are radically unprepared for the persecution that's going to come against them in order to prepare, make the final preparations for the one world order. unprepared. That's why I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes. Preparing our hearts for perilous times. Again, some people are trying to order that book now, and it's not available now. It won't be available until August. And we'll be letting you know when you can obtain individual copies of that book. But until then, you can be a participant in the Persecution Project, which enables you to, for $250 to Save America Ministries, we will commit to provide, in the first group of books that go out when it comes out, even before its public release, you will be sent 10 copies of the book. The book is going to be $24.99, that's $25. It's a 377-page book, and it's going to enable you to become God's hand extended to prepare those in your sphere of influence to get prepared for what's coming. Starting, perhaps, with your pastor, you're going to want to make sure your pastor gets a copy of the book. You're going to want to make sure that those that you care for and love who are Christians, this is not an evangelistic book. This is a book about preparing those who profess to be followers of Christ, because they're the ones that are going to be persecuted. Why should the unbelievers be persecuted? Jesus said they're condemned already unless they turn and repent. You may think that that's not a true statement, but if you'll read John chapter 3, right after verse 16, you'll find out that that is exactly true. So, again, I urge you to become part of those who have already committed to this persecution project, and we're thrilled to do so. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. And if you're writing a check, make sure you put on their persecution project or put a note with your check. And you can go to the website, saveus.org, and there's a special spot there where you can sign up for being a partner in the persecution project. This is a very important thing. I don't know how to tell you how important it is, other than the way we've been doing it, without trying to be sensationalistic about it. I hope you will join in that. This is an opportunity for you to do something. Everybody wants to know, well, what can I do? That's something you can do, friends. You can be God's hand extended to get that message out in those in your sphere of influence as you wait upon the Lord, even now, until August, you wait upon the Lord to direct your heart toward those that you think will be most ready to receive that message and need to receive it. When persecution comes, preparing hearts for perilous times. Okay, now we want to move forward here. We have talked before on this program about how globalism is the anti-gospel. The anti-gospel. But how serious is this issue of globalism? Just what is the depth of it? What is it? If we were to really look behind this verdict and the other cases that have been brought, trying to bring down a wealthy former president of the United States who says he's going to make America great again. That's what they hate, say. They hate the MAGA message. They don't want to make America great again. They want to diminish America's greatness so that America can be brought into a new world order. And they must destroy this messenger. That's what's behind the verdict. But behind that is the pursuit of globalism, the final effort for utopian government. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today we're talking about this matter of the verdict. The verdict that was brought down against Donald J. Trump, former president of the United States, on 34 counts. And true jurisprudent experts across the country, Democrat and Republican, and said, where was the case? There was no case here. There was no law that was broken. So the judge had to actually tell the people, the jury, to make up their laws. That's what he said. You have to make, you can make up whatever law you think Donald Trump broke. Make it up. Why would he say that? Because the judge was in the role of facilitating what some have called a public lynching. A public lynching. He had an agenda that was put upon him. Now you say, what do you mean agenda put upon him? Well, a congressman is demanding investigation of misconduct in the Trump prosecution. What kind of misconduct? Congresswoman Elise Stefanik says that what was happening here is that the judge himself, an obvious anti-Trump bias, has been documented over and over by commentators observing his handling of the case. That was absolutely absurd, not to mention the fact that his daughter compounds the bias because she's making millions on behalf of the Democrat Party to defeat Donald Trump, and the judge refused to recuse himself. Any other judge would have recused himself. Why not this judge? Because he had a mandate, friends. The mandate was convict Donald Trump, do everything you can to connect, to convict Donald Trump so that he can no longer, we can diminish his ability to come against the new global order that we're getting ready to put in place by 2030. You did hear the word 2030, right? That's 6 years from now, 5.5 years from now. That's the goal. You know that, but you keep forgetting it. We're not talking about something that's in the dim, dark future. We're talking about something that's in the immediate future. The same Representative Stefanik says that selection of Judge Mershon in this trial was not even random. In other words, he was selected twice to deal with the case, two cases now, involving Donald Trump in New York. Why was he selected? A donor to the Democratic Party, a daughter who is a major fundraiser for the Democrat Party, why would he be selected? Because he was perfect to choreograph the best possible way to deceive and manipulate the jury in order to achieve a desired verdict. So, Matthew Whitaker, who was renowned as the former acting attorney general, said the judge was trying to force a conviction, not even allow, but force a conviction. He's right. He said, I describe this as putting bricks on the scale of justice. That's exactly what was happening. The judge was doing everything he could to set the scales of justice unbalanced in the case. Attorney Spillmore says that the jury instructions that were given by the judge themselves were unconstitutional. And he's right. They were unconstitutional. But what does the jury know about that? They were just given the instructions. And so they're told to obey the instructions. So he gutted the very burden of proof by giving the option to the jury to decide, not unanimously, which ones of a variety of different possible crimes to bring. And he created his own rule, and then that's what the jury had to sit with until they were done. Unbelievable. Now, interestingly, Judge Napolitano, who was the youngest federal judge ever, former New Jersey Superior Court Judge Andrew Napolitano, he stated that Trump should have no worries. Now, what does he mean by that? He means that in the normal course of things, he has numerous various appeals that are available to him that could overturn the verdict. The problem with that is it avoids or does an end run around the real reason why all this is taking place in the first place. If the trust in the justice system has been so malevolently dealt with in order to accomplish a nefarious ulterior motive of establish a global government so that this man would have his voice totally silenced and not be able to stand for a restoration of making America great again. To them, to the globalists, that is anathema. That's like the unpardonable sin, friends. You have to understand this. If you don't understand that, you miss the point. There's a much bigger picture, and almost nobody is willing to talk about it because they're afraid they'll be diminished in the public media and mocked as having some sort of a conspiratorial theory or something going on. This is not a conspiratorial theory. Let me show you why. In 1950, February 17th, James Paul Warburg, speaking before the United States Senate, made these statements. We shall have world government whether or not we like it. He said the only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. Friends, do you not see what's happening? This is the conquest, the subversion of law, the subversion of justice, the subversion of truth, the subversion even of the medical profession or our trust in the medical profession through Dr. Fauci and the pharmaceuticals, the whole, all the systems of our country are under supreme attack to diminish the trust of Americans in our system of government And how is that possible? Because we have, for the past 70 years, gradually cast away our confidence in the truth of God's word, will, and ways. We have abandoned the fear of the Lord, and now we fear man. Now we fear injustice. Now we fear what's happening with our children, with our grandchildren, turning into homosexuals, transgenders. All the systems, the foundations of the earth are out of course. And if the foundations be destroyed, says the psalmist, what can the righteous do? I'm telling you what the righteous can do. Because these things are happening and they're going to happen. God said so. In his word. We've been talking about this for years now on this program. Gradually upping the ante, so that it didn't come as a complete, total shock to people. But we're at the end of the age. We're at the end of the road, friends. Do you not see this? Yes, we should do the best we can to elect the best possible people we can. But if you have convinced yourself that we can save America just by electing other people, even if they were all Christians, like the bulk of Christians today. As Don Hodel and Randy Tate said back there a few years ago, heading up Christian Coalition, America still would not be saved. America will only be saved when the hearts of the people change. That's the way it is. That's what God said. That's what we say in theory we believe about the Bible. But apparently not quite so much. So, this idea of world government has been the dream and dominion of men throughout the ages to this point right now, all the way from the Tower of Babel back in Genesis 11 to the trumpeting of the New World Order right now in our generation. Various kingdoms and rulers have all tried to accomplish this. God's not against government. He's against godless government. He's against government that sets itself against him, against his truth. Now, there's no question about it. The promise and hope of a utopian global order ushering in world peace is very alluring to the natural mind. After all, who in their right mind would not yearn for peace to avert a nuclear holocaust? And Vladimir Putin is saying, maybe we should start using some modified form of nuclear power. That's where things are heading. So for the balance of the program here today, we're going to take a look at this government, this new world order. What does it look like? And who's going to head it up? And why is it that he's going to use the very same techniques to destroy us?
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Today we're talking about what is behind the verdict. What's behind the verdict? What's behind the verdict is something far more sinister, far more serious than the verdict itself. So we're looking behind the verdict, asking ourselves what's behind it. Well, the reality is that globalism The pursuit of globalism, a new world order, a new world global government, is subverting justice. Justice has to be subverted in order to accomplish it. Otherwise, you would be able to look to the court system in this country to protect you against the onslaught of globalism. But those who are heading into this new global order and are committed to it, both Republican and Democrat, say, no, this is too serious a matter. We are not going to allow the court system to be co-opted to defend people to somehow destroy or protect against this new world order. No, we're going to use the court system to manipulate justice so that people cannot defend themselves, cannot protect themselves against this ultimate goal. And that's where Donald Trump sits and why he can honestly say, I'm standing here in the gap for you. That's what he's saying. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for our Constitution's sake. I wish he would say, I'm doing this for the sake of Christ, but he hasn't come to that. He said, I'm doing this for the sake of my countrymen. I'm doing this for the sake of the Constitution, which is too precious. So, you can decide whether to believe him or not to believe him, but isn't it interesting that the moment he came down in 2015, the escalator from Trump Towers, and announced he was going to make America great again, that was his campaign theme, all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. That's when it started. Why? Because the George W. Bushes of the world, the George Herbert Walker Bushes of the world, the Hillary Clintons of the world, the Barack Obamas of the world, the Joe Bidens of the world, and many within across the pond, so to speak, all over the world, they said, uh-oh, we're in trouble. We were right on the edge of launching this new world order, and now here comes this guy. We're going to have to stop him. And that's the goal. They couldn't believe that they didn't stop him in 2016. Hillary Clinton still can't get over it. You see, Hillary and Bill Clinton were consummate globalists. Did you know that Bill Clinton was virtually raised and trained by Cecil Rhodes, who was one of the founders of the whole pursuit of a new world order? Did you know that? They call them Rhodes Scholars. You know what they're about? Creating a global government. Rhodes Scholars. Did you know that George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st president of the United States, a Republican, was a globalist committed to globalism? Did you know that George W. Bush, his son, was committed to globalism? That's right. Those two Republicans. Did you know that George Herbert Walker Bush voted for Hillary Clinton in a 2016 election because she and he were both committed to globalism? When are we going to get this through our heads and understand what's really taking place? And this is not just a matter. The politics of it, friends, are just the surface. The reality is what's behind the scenes. What is lurking behind the verdict? I want to ask you a series of questions here. We'll call them probing thoughts for prophetic times. Why do you think mankind has repeatedly sought to form global government despite God's command to disperse throughout the earth and despite his obvious displeasure with those at the Tower of Babel? Why? What do you think? What is God's goal for ultimate government, bringing peace on earth? Is that going to happen by the Republican Party? By the Democrat Party? By the New World Order? No. God says the only way that's going to happen is through the Prince of Peace. not the phony Prince of Peace called the Antichrist that will head up a one-world government. So what, according to Daniel's prophecy in the Old Testament, will be the final world government before the Messiah returns? What is it about this time in history that's so unique that would cause Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of Britain, UK, say this is the moment to be seized? What did President H.W. Bush mean when he boldly stated the new world is struggling to be born? And what about all this press for unity, locally and globally, even calling pastors and people to play into the ungodly spirit of the emerging counterfeit satanic government, economy, and religion? Are you able to discern the difference between genuine oneness in Christ and the emerging counterfeit oneness movement? Can you see how the promise of the new European dream actually vied dramatically, luring the American heart, seducing vast numbers of American citizens into the waiting arms of socialist globalism in the 2008 election with Barack Obama, thinking it was going to offer up to satisfy a longing hope for governmental salvation, so much so that between 20 and 30 times Barack Obama was called Messiah? Why is this globalism the anti-gospel? And how will this globalism usher in the Antichrist himself? Now, in order to help you understand some of this in greater depth, I want to provide to you a copy of my book, Antichrist: How to Identify the Coming Imposter. Antichrist: How to Identify the Coming Imposter. It's a $22 book, and it's yours for $18. It's on our website, saveus.org. It is a 450-page book, I believe. And I'll tell you, I seriously doubt you've read anything like it. And it is going to help you understand the bigger picture. That's what we're missing, is the bigger picture. It helps us to understand this subject from God's viewpoint, not from our worldly, fleshly viewpoint, not just from our political viewpoint. If we don't embrace God's viewpoint, then we're finished, aren't we? That's why we can say viewpoint determines destiny. So, again, the book Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter, $18. We'll put the $22 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. And then you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Okay, so where do we go from here? What is it that you and I can do? What kind of transformation is required in our own minds and hearts in order to deal with this movement that is building, taking up steam, and moving inexorably toward the fulfillment of biblical prophecy and the ultimate employment of a counterfeit Christ? Well, we have to come to the place where we trust in the Lord with all our heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all our ways, we have to acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. Do you believe that? We have to come to the place where we really believe it. It's not a theory. We either trust him or we don't. Now, the Christian life is built upon a three-legged stool: belief, trust, and faith. Belief, faith, and trust. Trust, faith, and belief. Those words all come from the same basic root word in the Greek. In other words, they are facets of the same thing, but they're slightly different. So what is it that links those three words? Faith, trust, and belief. See, it's not just enough to say, well, I believe. The devil believes and trembles, friends. He doesn't just believe, he trembles. Do you? So belief by itself is not sufficient. You may think it is by reading a single scripture or something, but it's not. In fact, our understanding of the word believe is actually in error because it was written from a Hebrew viewpoint, not an American viewpoint, not a Western, not a Greco-Roman viewpoint, but a Hebrew viewpoint. What is the Hebrew viewpoint of belief? It means to behave or act according to what you say you believe. That's where integrity of heart comes in. Integrity of life. So when David says, judge me according to my integrity, what he's saying to the Lord is, judge me according to the actions of my life that correspond to what I say I believe. That's what it means to believe. But how about this word trust? Well, trust is a corollary to believe. In other words, if I'm acting according to what God says and what I say I believe about it, that would reflect, or hopefully reflect, that I truly take God at his word and I trust him. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to, because I trust him. He's my father. I trust him. And then, of course, we have faith. Faith is the walk. You see, the just shall live by faith. Faith requires belief and trust and a walk. It has been said that faith is a long obedience in the same direction. In other words, it requires a patient, unswerving walk on the narrow path. Now, what binds these three together? There's one word. It's a four-letter word. Obey. The word obey is like the linking rods of this three-leg stool, so that when you sit on it, you rest on this stool of the Christian life, the legs don't splay out and you fall to the ground. It requires obedience. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to obey me. If you don't love me, you won't. If you do love me and keep my law, then I and my Father will make ourselves manifest to you. It's pretty simple. Find that in John chapter 14. Or the gospel, the epistle of John, where he says, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God, your love of God. You see, what we really need now is a true and legitimate reconsideration, restructuring of our lives so that the reality of belief, faith, and trust become linked with obedience such that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When that happens, we will be able to stand in the evil day. Get the book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter, on our website, saveus.org. It's a $22 book, yours for $18, right there. I hope you'll get a copy of it, read it gradually, assimilate it, and become a partner, friends. We're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. I hope you can see that. God bless. Be a blessing. Yes, pray for our country. Let's begin our own lives.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.